to allow them to absorb the languages spoken around them. Young children are equipped with a language absorption device. While this may make them sound like tiny, terrifying little robots, it really means that they have amazing facility in learning and using several languages.
After children reach a certain age, however, the ability falls off. So for the first 2 years of language training, they're crucial. Barbara Zern Pearson writes about these early years in her new book, Raising a Bilingual Child.
And she joins us this morning to try and explain how children's language learning works and how we can best promote it. Barbara, welcome to the program. It's a great pleasure to have you aboard.
My pleasure.
So tell me exactly how you came to write this step-by-step guide for parents, and why it is so important to do this so early in raising a bilingual child.
Well, I came to write it because I think people's ideas about raising a bilingual child are either they think it's easier than it is and they don't do what they need to do, or they think it's harder than it is and they say, oh no, that would be much too hard, I wouldn't want my child to do that. And so, since it's a very natural thing, most of the world is bilingual, since it's such a very natural thing, I wanted to write the book and take the experience that we've had studying bilingual children at the university and try and translate it for parents.
Go ahead.
Well, I think you've mentioned that it's very important to start early. I think that, in a way, we have a little bit of a larger window than most people often think, but I think it's important to start early because that's when you start the habits of your household and you set it up as a household where two languages are spoken.
So you are a research associate for the University of Massachusetts, and what I'm interested in is for us, do we have to ultimately, I guess the parents, I mean, a lot of this falls on the parents, doesn't it? And an assumption that we are bilingual and being able to pass that on to our children. Is that correct?
No.
Okay.
Of course, it's more convenient if the parents are bilingual because they're a nice, convenient source of another language. But many parents, and I spoke to a lot of people in the course of doing this book, in addition to all the work that we did for the 20 years, mostly actually at the University of Miami is where most of this work was done. But I spoke to about 100 different families, and I was very, very impressed with a number of families who are not themselves bilingual, but who feel very strongly that they want this benefit for their child. And they go out and they find other sources of these other languages for their children.
So I don't want to make this, to oversimplify this, but is this the same thing going on in the infant and toddler brain that is going on that allows them to pick up things that perplex us later on, like electronics and computers and that kind of thing, where kids pick it up so much quicker? Is it the same idea, really, that they have that absorption and their minds are ready to learn?
Well, they definitely are ready to learn. The infant and the young child has been called the most powerful learning device in the universe, which I think is probably true. And I like, I think I heard you in the beginning refer to a thing called the language acquisition device, or the LAD. And a famous linguist in England has called that the MAD, the multilingual acquisition device. So whatever it is that helps children with their first languages helps them with their second as well.
If language is learned early on but not used for a while, how much do the skills decay? Do they lose the grasp of the
Absolutely.
Language they don't hear?
In fact, I think one of the passages I have in the book is that, like, you know, the children are great language learners and they're great language forgetters. So if you don't keep it up, it goes away up to a certain point. You know, I think once the child, well, if you take it as far that the child will become literate, has been speaking the language for several years, it becomes more or less like a bicycle. If you don't do it, you get rusty, but it doesn't go away. If the child is exposed, say, up to the age of 2 or 3, they could very easily, if they don't use it again, they might have the phonetics, the sound system will be probably stored in there, and it make it easier for them to pick it up later.
Mm-hmm.
But even, you know, infants that are adopted from abroad, if they've been adopted before age 1, it's as if they never heard the other language.
Right.
So And I guess this is a question I could have asked at the very beginning of the interview. Why do you believe it is so? I will indeed. Thank you very much. The question is, why is it so important for us to raise a bilingual child?
So what are the benefits of doing this? Because, and there are many. So some people like the, some people, especially those, as you've mentioned, who are bilingual themselves and come from an international couple, this is a way to really value and respect both of their cultures and involve the child in both of the families that gave rise to the child. But it's also, they're finding new cognitive benefits it helps children's thinking and it helps their development in language, helps them think about language. It hones, there's some wonderful new research about how it helps them focus their concentration in ways that are going to help them all the way till they're old and almost demented, that apparently the exercise of being bilingual staves off dementia by a few years in a measurable way. Of course, we don't have to worry about that for our three-year-olds. But
no,
it helps them when they go to read. It helps them when they go to learn their next language. And I think the part that I like the best for my children is that it makes them a better citizen of the world, more aware of other cultures.
And prepares them for the global marketplace.
Right, exactly.
How, I guess, with this early learning, and as you say, it after a while that learning potential starts to decay, how helpful are the schools in this to sort of pick up that baton and run with it once a child enters that learning environment with this knowledge and with this education?
Yeah. Well, I wish I could say that they were very, very helpful. Most of the parents say that they have to do what they do and not count on help from the schools. However, the good part is that when the schools do pick it up, it's very, very effective. So there's one model called dual immersion or two-way immersion, where the child learns in both English and Spanish or whatever the second language.
Right.
I know there are lots of Chinese ones growing up, and there's Portuguese and Haitian and so forth. But this dual immersion model has been shown to be practically for immigrant children, it's practically the only one that actually brings them up to speed by the end of elementary school, brings them up to the level of children who learned English as their first language here in this country. But for children who are learning a second language, it can also be very, very effective, the way it has been in Canada for many years.
Well, this is all good news, and you have a step-by-step guide for parents. The name of the book is Raising a Bilingual Child. The book is published by Random House and Living Language. And Dr. Pearson, I want to thank you so much for spending time with us. It's a great pleasure to have you on the program.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Next up, it's Performance Place with Howard Glassman. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.